is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Sabine County, Texas, March 31st, 1887. The moonlit pines of a thicket, it's called, a dense forest in East Texas. Suddenly, gun flashes erupt. This is the centerpiece of the explication of the Texas Rangers in Joe Pappalardo's new book, Red Sky Morning, the epic true story of Texas Ranger Company F. At this shootout, March 31st, 1887, and we need to tell the story of who's shooting and who the captain and sergeant of Company F are that get hit by the gunfire. Joe, congratulations. It is wonderful to go to Texas because your history of Company F also tells the story of the transformation of Texas into the modern superstate that it is. The shooting that night is between Company F, led by Captain Scott and Sergeant Brooks, and the Connor family. Why are the Rangers shooting it out with the Connors? Who are they? What did they do? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me. The Connor family, an East Texas family of master hunters, backwoodsmen, who live and manage to do better than scrape out, but do actually make a very good living out of terrain that most people in Texas don't know what to do with it. They run hogs, they cut timber. They are masters of their terrain there. And they have been swept up into this very violent feud in Sabine County with two other prominent families. And there have been killings and jailbreaks. And now they're on the lam hiding in their own backyard. And the Rangers have been assigned to root them out one way or the other. Hence this moonlight raid.
This is an existential threat to the Connor family. Old man Connor, Willis Connor, comes from Florida, I believe, and he has a patchy background. Although I learned from you, Joe, everybody in the 19th century carrying a weapon has a patchy background. And they didn't move from Florida to Alabama to Arkansas to Texas because things were going well. So you wind up in Texas that seems to be willing to accept everybody as a start over, a second chance. Is that the flavor of Sabine County entirely as they create out of the wilderness this town and this governance?
Sabine County to me is very interesting because it lies on a very popular trail into Texas. So almost everyone who was approaching Texas from the east was passing through Sabine County at one point. And it's this very dark, foreboding, swampy, you know, the pine trees are so thick and the canopy is so vast that even in the daytime, it's very gloomy. And most people would pass it on by. But people like the Connors, who are familiar with that kind of terrain, they're from Georgia, then they move to Florida. He gets in some trouble down there and there's a murder rap and he's wanted. Willis Connor is, who moves his family to Texas, but not just any part of Texas, a part of Texas that is very much like his native Georgia. So they know how to use that terrain. And they bring that frontier mentality with them in that they don't want to be messed around with anyone. They want to be left alone to pursue their own sort of destiny. And even the Rangers comment that these men only want their liberty. They're not in it for bank robbery. They're not in it for any kind of political gain. They just want to exist in their own little area. They're not out committing many crimes past the jailbreaking and the initial murders of the family feud. But even that was an existential threat to the family, the beginnings of that feud. So they're very sympathetic outlaws in that regard.
And that is a critical factor for the shootout, March 31st, 1887, because it's never clear to this day, to Joe's exhausting research, that the Connors are guilty of anything but defending themselves from a representative of the Lowe clan and a representative of the Smith clan in the shootout that took place in 1883 with rudimentary forensics of the period and nowhere near the chemistry and the analysis that's possible today. But the initial decision is that the young men were gunned down and then executed at close range, and therefore the Connor family is condemned. There's an initial trial, and one member of the Connor family is condemned to prison, and he goes off to Rusk Prison. The others are to stand trial when they're broken out of jail, and they've been on run. Well, not really run. They've been hiding, not really hiding. They've sort of retreated into the wilderness. Everybody knows where they are, but they're not talking to outsiders. So when the Rangers come in, they're seen as, yes, law enforcement, but also as outsiders. This gunfire that starts the scene on March 31st, it is not clear if the Rangers are not successful, whether anybody's going to care about what they were trying to do. This is the Frontier Battalion, and we need to pay attention to the fact that this night, several Rangers are badly wounded. One is killed right outright, Joe, my memory. But Brooks is badly wounded. He's the sergeant we're going to follow. He loses fingers. Scott, the captain, is badly wounded, unto death if he wasn't so tough. And I believe Rogers, Private Rogers, who's going to later become a legendary Ranger captain, is badly wounded as well. The gunfire dies down. Willis Connor, old man, he has many sons. The list is so long, I can't be sure this is complete. There's Fred, there's Charlie, there's Leander, there's Alfie, there's William, there's John. They're not all present that night. Willis escapes. So we're going to leave Willis running into the wilderness for the moment and turn to what we need to know about Sabine County, because a great piece of Joe's very careful history is then and now. Joe, you've been to Sabine County. You've been to the graveyard. Do the people of Sabine still remember this gunfight at Bloody Gulch? Does the graveyard still remember the bloody fight?
There's a lot of history in Sabine County, and it's literally and figuratively just right under the surface. The state dammed, two states actually, dammed the river to create the Toledo Bend recreational area, basically a sportsman's paradise. And so most of my murder scenes are actually under the water. The pine trees are different, but the attitude there is very much the same. Very insular, not welcoming to outsiders. People from Texas go there, and other Texans say, "Hey, where are y'all from?" They're not used to that. You know, no one waves when you drive by like in other parts of Texas. It's its own peculiar sort of spot, and the history is very much swept under the carpet. For the very pragmatic reason that these families all intermarried. They intermarried before the feud, during the feud, and after the feud. And after the bloody events and that horrible era, and innocents die, innocents go to prison, it's a time best left forgotten for the sake of the survivors, some of which are starting new lives as intermarried families. So the history is very, very shadowy. There's no great chronicle of it that's ever been sort of published. Yet there it is. There's still people that go to the Connor graveyard and leave items for the family members there. The county has to take care of it and maintain it. The person who maintains that graveyard is actually a descendant of one of the first murder victims of the feud, who were killed by the Connors. And even in the Connors did kill two people in the woods. It definitely seems that way. Even Willis Connor tells a neighbor a version of events that puts the Connors there. There was a clash. They were there, and they didn't really offer great defense in court. So they bear a lot of responsibility for amping up the violence there. Yet they're extremely sympathetic in Sabine County, nonetheless, because of their attitude and because of the horrible way that this feud actually ends.
And the Rangers are called in because the people of Sabine County cannot resolve this. The Rangers are seen as a way of pressing forward for the law. But the law involves a courtroom scene that you provide that is extremely ambiguous. And in fact, in 20th century law, let alone 21st, I don't believe we have a clear verdict of guilty for that first round of trials that happened. Then the Connors break out of jail. And my understanding is once they do that, the calling in the Rangers is obvious. But calling in the Rangers is not easy to do. What do you have to do? Apply to Governor Ireland to get the Frontier Battalion to come to your county? Is that how it's done?
Pretty much. That's the best direct appeal to get them there. And it's an admission that you can't handle your county. So as a local politician, you're loath to bring in outsiders. But the men, the town of Hemphill is the county seat. And the people in Hemphill are a little bit different from the people in the other parts of Sabine County. When they feel threatened, they call the Rangers. The neighbors of the Connors never felt that was necessary. And there's a lot of reasons and threats that were issued. And after that jailbreak, having this lawless element was a direct challenge to that law and order structure. Yet they felt threatened enough by that Connor family to calling the Rangers. Now, one of those people who was threatened was their former defense attorney. So when you look back on that first initial trial that ended up with the one person who later we find out probably wasn't there at the shooting, one of the Connor sons, is the one who gets sent to prison. So that fuels a lot of outrage, even though the Connors did it. The wrong Connor is now in prison. So there's a lot of community outrage, hence the jailbreak. As time goes on and the Connors become more of a pain for everyone in the county, and all of a sudden you see people starting to peel off and their support isn't there. And eventually that turns into frontier justice from their neighbors hunting them down to collect the reward. So the deterioration of Sabine County and the Connors' reputation there has a direct bearing on the story because it ends up with them being killed.
We'll go to the other side of the gunfire, the Rangers. Who's Captain Scott? Who's Captain Brooks? That is the story of the Texas Rangers. Red Sky Morning, the epic true story of Texas Ranger Company F. Joe Pappalardo is the author. I'm John Bash.
Powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Shop with confidence with ShopRite's Locked In Price. We're locking in prices on your favorites, like ShopRite's Italian Sausage, now just $2.99 per pound. Look for the Locked In Price icon in store and online today at ShopRite.com. Shop happy. ShopRite.